Thanks for joining us. If you like the content, subscribe and comment. It helps us to grow the channel. Clowns! I hate them. They're nothing but a bunch of honking, red-nosed menaces to society. I don't know. Is there anyone out there who even likes clowns? I don't think so. Most people think they're annoying at best and terrifying at worst. And yet, I'm old enough to remember a time when a lot of people still liked clowns. When I was a kid growing up in the 80s, I'd see clown-themed toys, decorations, and even Halloween costumes that weren't scary. So, what exactly happened here? When did clowns make the transition from loved to loathed? And who was it that first decided that a guy in a polka dot suit with red hair would be funny in the first place? Well, that's what we're here to examine. In this two-part series, we'll do a deep dive into colorology, that's the study of clowns. Today, we'll look at the history of clowns from ancient times to their present incarnation, and in part two, we'll examine the change in social perception that took them from icons of children's birthday parties to fixtures of horror movies. It's the history of clowns on History Unpacked. But before we go further, I should mention that there seems to be a lot of misinformation out there about clowns. I've heard things like that a clown's makeup was originally a reference to the rictus grin and deathly pallor of the dead, or that a clown suit came from the uniform of prisoners. This is all false. So be careful about what you believe when it comes to clown history. When I made this episode, I made sure that all of the information here could be traced to a reliable source, so I feel pretty confident that you can trust my information. But even I have been known to make mistakes, so always be skeptical. Now, onward. So, as you can imagine, the idea of a funny man whose job it is to make the public laugh is not a new idea. In fact, such people have been around probably since the day a caveman accidentally tripped over a rock, had people laugh at him, and decided he'd keep doing it. But the earliest known instance of clowns comes from ancient Egypt, it seems. I actually had a hard time finding information to totally confirm this. Most sources said that certain priests took on roles of entertainers for various reasons. But that doesn't sound very clowny to me. It also seems as though Egyptian royalty employed dancing dwarves as entertainers, so I guess. But this was kind of the tricky thing. A lot of ancient history I could find about clowns wasn't really verifiable to my liking. I guess this makes sense. As a clown named Bluey theorizes on his website, it's likely that in all the big events like wars and such, most people probably weren't too concerned about recording history on clowns. So what does seem apparent, though, is that there was some form of early clown. For example, in ancient Greek theater, there were satyr plays, in which men played the role of comedically lascivious goatmen in order to contrast with the tragic elements of the play. I was also able to locate some depictions of a type of ancient Greek performance called a phlyax play, which was a kind of burlesque that consisted of actors in exaggerated masks, outfits, and phalluses. Really, what is it with ancient Greeks and phalluses? Anyway, I had to actually double-check the veracity of these images because they almost look like clowns today. Well, minus the phalluses. I actually thought they were faked or photoshopped or something, but nope, you can actually find them in various museums around Europe. Now, ancient Rome also carried on a variant of this tradition with a form of mime as well. But lest you think that clowns are a strictly Western occurrence, we can also find clowns in completely different cultures as well. One sort of early proto-clown that I've come across multiple times while researching various topics comes from an unlikely place, the American Southwest. You see, the indigenous Pueblo people of that region believed in spiritual beings called Cochinas, and some of these were trickster spirits. Most notably is the Koshari, which is a trickster Cochina that has a black and white striped body and hair done up to resemble a pair of horn-like protrusions. That kind of sounds like a clown to me. But as for the modern clown that we know, well, the earliest I was able to trace its history comes from the medieval court jester. Now, you've likely seen these in movies or TV shows wearing brightly colored costumes and with, you know, multi-pointed caps adorned with bells. Often they hold a scepter called a bauble or marotte. I'm not really sure about the pronunciation about that. I wasn't able to find any reliable guides. But anyway, all of this, the bells, the bauble, whatever, that's actually a pretty accurate portrayal of how they really looked. But, all right, well, where did jesters get those things from? Well, I've only found theories on this. Some claim that jesters' costumes were a parody of the regalia worn by both priests and kings. Others say that in the case of the hat, it was to resemble donkey ears, which in turn were a common costume prop at that time. And still others claim that all of this, you know, all of these accoutrements, they were good for jingling and shaking, which just made things a little bit more funny. Likely, it's a combination of all of those things. But jesters weren't just limited to kings and castles. They were also common during festivals, like the medieval festival known as the Feast of Fools, and by performance troupes like the French Enfants Sans Souci. Now, meanwhile, in Italy, around the 1500s, a new style of show appeared. It was called the Commedia dell'arte. Now, it's kind of hard to explain just what this was. It wasn't a scripted show like, say, Shakespeare's Hamlet, which has the same characters, story, and plot, regardless of where you see it. Rather, it was a style of show that often had the same characters and recurring themes and scenarios, but no definite script. It's hard to think of a modern-day equivalent of this. The closest thing that I can think of is comic books. You have the character of Batman, right? But depending on who wrote the story and when, he might or might not have Robin with him. The Joker's origin might be different, or Batman might not even fight the Joker at all. Well, that's kind of what the Commedia dell'arte was. It had a variety of characters getting themselves in a variety of silly situations and playing out those stories. Now, just like in comic books, there were characters that showed up again and again, and some of these were so iconic that their influence can be seen today. For example, a key type of character was a sort of trickster servant, which was known as the Zani, which is where we get the word zany. Also was the character of Harlequin. Harlequin was a type of Zani known for wearing a checkered outfit, somewhat similar to the colorful attire of clowns. And additionally, Harlequin carried a stick that he would use to signal scene changes or even to hit other characters. This stick made a loud slapping sound when struck, and that's where we get the term slapstick. Well, eventually, the Commedia dell'arte moved to England. Harlequin became the star of the show in the English version, which was called the Harlequinade. Additionally, other characters joined the cast. You might recognize the names of some of these, like Punchinello, the inspiration of Punch from the Punch and Judy puppet shows, Pierrot, and a character named Clown. Aha! So, we get the word clown from the English Harlequinade, right? Well, no. For that, we have to backtrack. According to the Online Etymology Dictionary, though no one is totally sure where the word clown comes from, a lot of people think it's derived from Scandinavian dialects to describe a clumsy, likely uneducated individual. Later, we see the actual word clown used in reference to fool-like characters in Shakespeare plays such as Othello or Hamlet. And this is where the Harlequinade character got his name. All right, now, before we go further, let's take a second to go to a completely different part of the world, South Korea. So here we have a form of performance very similar to the Commedia dell'arte called talnori. In this form of art, actors wear exaggerated masks for the purpose of mocking nobility and other social archetypes such as scholars, corrupt monks, and clever servants. And this brings up a really interesting point, and something I often like to bring up in my videos, the oddly similar persistence of ideas across cultures. Not only are there similarities between the Commedia dell'arte and the Korean talnori, but think back to the Pueblo Koshari, a character decorated in black and white stripes, which is in some ways similar to the diamond checkered patterns of the Harlequin. Interesting, right? Okay, so this is where things speed up. In about 1800, harlequinades were still popular in England. At this time, an actor named Joseph Grimaldi decided to add his own style to the character of clown, red and white facial makeup, and elaborate colored costumes. Where did he get the idea? Well, it was a combination of various theater characters throughout history. A little from the court jesters, a little from other Harlequinade characters like Pierrot, and some aspects from other places like the German clown Pickle Herring. In any case, Grimaldi's clown character was so popular that he eventually became the star of the Harlequinade, even eclipsing the role of Harlequin himself. Well, over time, things changed, and the Harlequinade gave way to other forms of theater. But the character of clown remained, and just like a virus will mutate so as to be able to infect a new kind of host, so too did the clown. Specifically, it found a home in a new form of entertainment, a kind of horse show called the circus. See, the first circus began in 1768 as a sort of place to showcase trick horse riding, and clowns were brought in to serve as a kind of comic relief between acts. Now, keep in mind, this was actually before Grimaldi solidified the appearance of the clown, and at this time, clowns were more akin to their Harlequinade counterparts. But when the Harlequinade died, the circus continued, and so did clowns. And over time, they evolved into the chuckling, pie-throwing, nightmare-inducing menaces we know today. It's hard to pinpoint a lot of the changes. We do know that the pie-throwing gag first appeared in a movie called Mr. Flip, but a lot of other changes are much more nebulous. Okay, so let's put that all together. Now, though clowns probably have their roots in ancient history, the ones we know today started from medieval jesters and fools, which evolved into the Commedia dell'arte. At the same time, the word clown began to be used for referring to rustic simpletons, especially in Shakespeare plays. Now, when the Commedia dell'arte migrated to England and became the Harlequinade, it picked up the clown as a character. Shortly after, the newly invented circuses borrowed the idea of clowns from the Harlequinade. Joseph Grimaldi established the standard clown makeup in the Harlequinade, which was also adopted by circus clowns, and while the former faded out, the latter continued on. But that's not the end of the story. There were still many important milestones in the history of the clown. In particular was the year 1946. An American company called Capitol Records had an idea. A read-along book in which children could listen to a narrator on a record read them a book which the children would have in their possession. That book was Bozo at the Circus, narrated, by the way, by Pinto Colving, who was also the voice of Disney's Goofy. Well, Bozo at the Circus was popular enough that just as the Necronomicon summons eldritch horrors, it summoned Bozo into the human world. Bozo eventually got his own TV show. Now, one thing that's a bit confusing is that the Bozo show was in syndication. And several TV stations around the country had their own Bozo show with their own actor to play as Bozo. clonezos, if you will. In any case, the Bozo Show was so beloved that clowns skyrocketed in popularity, becoming the go-to for children's entertainment, toys, and decorations. Oh, and Bozo was also linked to the creation of another famous clown. The well-known actor Willard Scott was one of the Bozos and worked for the same company that ran the McDonald's in that area. Scott was asked to create a mascot for the McDonald's and, drawing from what he was experienced with, created a clown mascot. That clown turned out to be, yes indeed, Ronald McDonald, the Hamburger Happy Clown. So, there you go. Two of the most famous clowns in history actually come from the same source. So, now that we've seen how clowns evolved over time from subversive gestures, to wildly popular kid-friendly circus clowns. But then, what happened after that? How did clowns go from being so popular to so reviled? Well, we'll delve into the darker history of clowns in part two of the series. Get your bleach handy, folks, because this clown suit is about to get stained with blood. See you then.